The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, it's Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. And how is the pomegranate vitamin water treating you in 2019?
I chugged it down this head and chased down my Thai food from this morning.
That's oh, awesome. Nice. Where'd you get the Thai food?
Sai Thai to go.
Okay.
Not too bad, because we would have gone to our other Thai place, but their website is down, so we don't know prices on their menu right now.
Oh, jeez.
Every Friday, I introduce my students to different foods around town.
Oh.
So
can I take your class?
That luxury.
Yes, you can.
You don't have enough time for that, right?
No, we have an hour and a half. But, you know, you forget, we're kind of like in the middle of
a bunch of food.
Yes, we are. So we always eat well.
Yes, you do.
We try different things.
Very much do. Dan Maggio is here with us today.
Hi, Matt.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
So, is it curling season or what? I know there's no winter Olympics.
We are in the middle of curling season.
Mm-hmm.
My teams have been doing actually great lately. We've been winning.
Very good.
So,
yeah.
But we're like almost halfway done. It goes by so quickly.
Wow.
Yes, it does. Not to say anything of the male Titans, by the way, who knocked off the top team in the conference last night.
Like, really?
Superstar top five freshman in the conference, yes. So, yeah, he's a top five nationally freshman in terms of scoring, Antoine Davis. So we're excited.
Well, that's good news because
yeah.
That's not always been the case.
Yeah. Continuing around the table, Jim Tubbs is with us.
Hello, hello.
What's going on, Jim?
Oh, well, a lot of nothing and a lot of something and a lot in between.
What do you have on your docket for winter term 2019?
Well, I'm just doing some research on some issues in research ethics.
Okay.
And trying to keep my head above water with other things I've got to get straightened out, passing the mantle of department chair. So
sure,
that's a good thing.
Is there an heir apparent?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's already started.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Todd has taken
over. Todd,
yes.
Okay. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Poor Todd.
Excellent. We'll get him back on the show soon.
Yeah, he
later.
Needs to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you got to pass on that mantle, too. You know?
Yeah.
That's a heavier mantle than
there's
he realizes.
Many mantles.
Yes.
Many mantles.
Yes.
Kendra Evans is here with us today.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great.
How is the move to engineering? I'm almost afraid I'm going to cover my face after I
Every
ask.
Time I go to the classroom, it looks different. My classroom was moved from a very wonderful, wonderful lecture hall, like one story down directly below my office, to a different building, the far corner. And they took down the monitors in the front of the room to replace them with bigger monitors. And I'm told now that they're in the middle of installing the very large 75-inch monitors, which will, I guess, cover the board. This is what I'm told.
Wow.
How wonderful. That'll make it useful.
Yeah, it'll be helpful for writing the answers to the problems on the board that they can't see.
What saith Heather Hill Vasquez?
Hi.
Oh, I thought you were going to chime in about remote teaching possibility.
I am reserving judgment for the particular next 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know. I'm just trying to take it one step at a time.
She's contemplating.
Contemplating everything.
Very
yeah.
pensive.
I'm trying to release some of my judgmental qualities.
Oh, okay.
So, went and saw my mother-in-law in California.
That's right. I think I saw a picture on Facebook.
Yeah, she's moved to assisted living. So, but we were there, Mark and I were there for Christmas proper, and then my daughter and I were out there right before school started.
Very cool.
So she had some visitors to look forward to over the stretch of time.
So you you traveled quite a bit then?
I did.
It's a distance.
It is, yeah.
Out to the avocado farm, right?
No, the avocado farm has been sold.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
yes,
that.
Yes, because my mother-in-law cannot keep it up anymore.
Did they deal with any smoke issues out there?
Yeah, they did. A little while before we got there over Christmas, they did evacuate the assisted care facility that she was in.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, but everything was okay.
So she owned an avocado farm?
Yes, 26 acres.
How involved was she in the operations?
Alfresco's father passed away several years ago, and that was going to be their retirement business and so on and so forth. So he handled a good deal of it, and then she did too, and then it just got to be too much.
Too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we miss it a lot and so forth. Especially miss all the fresh avocados we used to get in the mail.
What about that?
Yeah, well, place an order.
I know.
Got it.
A few years ago, you would have had plenty of avocados. I would have brought them right here.
Fresh off the tree.
Yep.
Well, folks, this is a program you can send us questions regarding anything. It has been a long time since we've had questions about avocados, maybe droops in general. If you stump the panel, you win an autographed photograph of the Ask the Professor panel and the ATP mug. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize too, the autographed photograph. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP. You can find us on Facebook or... guess what? Just ask your smart speaker. Play the latest episode of Ask the Professor. We've got a nice little set of questions from another one of Professor Evans' students from last semester. These were lovingly submitted by Lola Fagade. And let's see what we can do with them. Able to be seen from outer space, what is the largest living structure by mass on Earth?
Oh, the Great Coral Reef.
It says the Great Barrier Reef. Absolutely.
Oh, Barrier Reef.
Yep.
I was going to say Coral Rove.
Oh. The Great Coral Rove.
He's not quite that big.
Only in his mind.
Mm-hmm. Only in his mind. The world's fastest growing plant is a species related to what?
Bamboo.
Bamboo. On a good day, with good sun and water, bamboo can grow a full inch while you watch.
I thought that was your child.
Also true. Also a possibility.
It also spreads.
Yes.
Kudzu is pretty close, I
kudzu.
Think.
Yeah. We need to find fuel energy out of kudzu and bamboo.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Well, you know, the Japanese version of, and of course that's where we got it, but the Japanese version of kudzu, people eat it. And I'm thinking if we could, like, you know, get some goats and sheep interested in the flavor of kudzu, that might save a lot of people in the South, where it grows over your house and your car and everything else.
On the popular social media website Reddit, as in I read it on Reddit, what does AMA stand for?
American Medical... No.
When celebrities get on Reddit, they're there usually for a short period of time, about an hour, and they say they're hosting an AMA. Do you know what that means?
Ask?
Mm-hmm.
Ask me anything.
Ask me anything, yes. Usually the way it's done is you don't reveal who you actually are. So like if Heather got on, it would be like, I'm an English professor, ask me anything. And then that's the way the conversation
would go. Was this like the Masked Singer in a weird way?
It's sort of like that. I understand that's taking off. It terrifies me pretty much, and I don't want to watch it. But
And sign in.
Yes. Enter and sign in.
Oh, no, I can only imagine what Professor Roach would have thought about that first episode.
I didn't see who the Masked Singer
was. It was the wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers that got
Pete's
in trouble.
Sake. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what to think about this. I'm sure that I follow a number of frivolous things, but it seems pretty pretty out there for me.
No way. You follow frivolous things?
Yes, I do.
I cannot believe that.
What was the first publicly traded United States company that reached a market cap at $1 trillion? First one to a trillion.
Apple?
It was Apple. Yeah, you didn't have to think too hard about that, huh?
I was going to say Krispy Kreme.
Oh. Apple. Krispy Kreme's up there, but, you know. What do these letters stand for when you refer to the brain of a computer? CPU.
Central Processing Unit?
Central Processing Unit. Yes, CPU. I don't feel like we're going to be saying that word for much longer. Pretty much everything is integrated at this point. What does this acronym mean, which is the name of a popular gaming console from the early 1990s? SNES.
Ooh.
It's the first one I bought with my own money.
What? This is some Radio Shack Tandy thing here?
No.
Sega?
Nope.
Nintendo?
Yep.
All right, guys, I did my part.
Something Nintendo Entertainment.
That's your contribution.
Nintendo Entertainment System.
Right. Entertainment System.
So what's the S, the first S?
Super.
Super Nintendo.
Oh,
yay. Oh. Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
We used to have one of those at the office.
There you
it
go.
Prevented me from going home on many a night.
Retro gaming.
Is that
great
after
fun.
Pong or before?
After.
It's after
a little
Pong.
Bit after Pong.
I know.
Okay, speaking of computers, what does the acronym USB stand for?
Universal Serial Bus.
The Universal Serial Bus. That's right. Let's see here. Okay. Oh, yeah, this is actually pretty interesting. A poke bowl. We're really switching gears.
Uh-oh.
A poke bowl is a diced raw fish dish that originated from what United States state?
California.
It's not Hawaii. What it says.
Hawaii.
It says Hawaii, yeah.
My cousins make those in Vancouver now.
Poke bowl.
Yeah, that's a specialty.
Yeah. So is there like a direct translation? I'm getting a Pokemon vibe, at least a little bit, you know.
No, I have no idea.
Yeah, Pokemon, for some reason, even after all these decades, is still going strong. My kids are obsessed with Pokemon.
And the new movie's coming out, too.
Well, so is Hello Kitty.
Yeah, yeah, Hello Kitty's been around for a while.
Makes you wonder.
Makes you really wonder.
When's Dig Dug going to get its own movie?
Please, please don't ask for that. Everybody else is getting a movie, I can tell you that. What king of golf lent his name to a mixture of iced tea and lemonade?
Arnold Palmer. I think we should rename that the Matt Mayo beverage. Yeah.
Your favorite beverage. My nephew's names are Austin and Palmer, and they used to mix lemonade with a Coke. And so we called that an Austin Palmer.
Is this like a Laverne DeFazio, God rest Penny Marshall's soul?
Milk and Pepsi? Yeah, I'm not going that far. That's really gross. Oh. Never really understood
Pepsi
that.
Pepsi Light. I don't know if they still make that.
Pepsi Light.
Oh my
God. Used to be Diet Cola with a little bit of lemon.
That's right.
Careful. Let's be careful before Matt has like a Zima flashback. Now. That's all.
Oh, stop. Oh. Just stop. Don't take away my malt beverages. The first frosty malt beverage of the day. The term wake kettle or committee might refer to a group of what kind of bird? A wake? A kettle
ravens?
Or a committee. Not a raven, although a raven's a great guess.
No, that's gross.
Blackbirds.
Sometimes their plumage is black, sometimes gray.
Sometimes gray.
Pigeons?
Not pigeons. They're usually associated on the negative, these birds.
Crows?
Not crows.
Negative. Vultures.
Vultures. That's what we're going for. Vultures.
A committee of vultures?
A committee of vultures.
A kettle?
Do they work at a university?
Yeah.
I was about to say,
it's like a committee of vultures.
One of my favorite cartoons.
That connection is a little, Heckle and Jekyll. No, what are you talking about? What cartoon, Jim?
I've used on syllabi on occasion. It's a classroom of little vultures sitting at their desk,
right.
And the teacher vulture is sitting up front.
The teacher vulture.
And she's saying to the class, "All right, class, you've been circling your prey for 3 days, and it just will not die. What is your position, ethically speaking?"
Woo! That is a pretty woke cartoon there, Jim.
Wow. Try that for Ethics Bowl.
I know. Uh-huh. We'll see how that goes.
Lord, I'm just glad you didn't ask me to draw that one.
Oh, my gosh. In general, where is the smallest bone in your body located?
Hand?
It's in your ear.
The hand.
Yeah, it's in your ear. Tiny, tiny little thing.
Tiny, tiny little thing.
Yes. Continuing our anatomy, where's Stephanie when we need her?
I know. Yeah. I was just
thinking
that.
Which of your five fingernails grows the fastest?
The first
middle.
Fingernail.
No, the pinky. Index.
Literally, there's five of you in the room. You all guessed it into a completely different finger.
Middle.
The correct person is middle. It says
no,
the middle finger
not
grows
guess
the fastest.
Not for me. I disagree.
Okay, well. You know.
None of mine are looking very long at the time.
Yeah, well, that's a different story. Let's see.
Well.
How about.
It's accurate, anyway.
What was the first console video game that allowed the game to be saved in the cartridge?
Ooh.
People from my generation know this very
Atari?
Well.
Atari?
Not in television, was it?
No, actually, I'm talking about a very specific game.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Space Invaders.
The first game that ever let you save your progress because it was a long game.
Zelda.
It was The Legend of Zelda. Yes.
Okay,
The Legend of Zelda.
Larry or something like that. That's all.
Sure.
Is that still around and popular?
Very much so.
I think so.
Very, very much so.
I remember that. Yeah.
We're going to do some nostalgia with regard to video games while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor.
Flashback.
1968.
I'm the man with all of the questions and most of the answers, Bill Raby. On my right is history professor Frederick H. Hayes.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Fred. Normally on my left is Russell McLaughlin, but he's in Spain looking after some stock that the University of Detroit owns. And this leaves our guest middleman, Lawrence Kanjar, who is dean of the College of Engineering.
All alone.
No, what you're doing is replacing three people. The questions you had on the program are submitted by listeners. If you stump the experts, you will receive a subscription to a national magazine, The Atlantic, Harper's, or American. We have some amplification here. First of all, from Hanaban, Louisiana, Mrs. Elizabeth R. Beale I heard a program last Saturday morning on WWL radio that I understand was taped by the University of Detroit. You understand correctly. The question asked was, who named the flag Old Glory? Well, I know that William Driver called the flag Old Glory. William Driver was the master of the brig Charles Daggett. He raised the flag on his ship August the 10th, 1831, saying, I name thee Old Glory. Have you heard that story before, friend?
No, I haven't.
Well, it must be true. If
the interesting question now is, how does everybody else find out? How does something like this come into general usage?
Oh, the members of his crew blabbed as soon as they get ashore, you know.
Yes, you heard the old man did. What a dumb thing.
Good PR man on the ship.
Yeah.
And we're back. We just finished up some great questions. Thank you very much, Lola Fagade, for sending those in. We have another set of student questions here, Kendra. They were sent by Coco Cohen, also known as Brianne, just graduated from the university with her chemistry degree last December. So
yay!
Congratulations. We'll see you on commencement day, Coco. Used to be a center for our women's basketball team. The strongest known magnet in the universe is actually a what?
A star?
This is tricky. It's a kind of star.
Oh,
yeah, it is.
Is it like a black
hole? It's not the center of the core.
It's not a black hole. It's not the center of the universe.
Do you say in the universe or on this planet?
In the universe. The strongest known magnet in the universe is a kind of star. What kind of star?
You mean like a Hollywood star?
Some of those are magnets.
Determine that it's not Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
Is it a red dwarf?
You're using star terminology or stellar terminology?
Come on.
It's a stellar performance.
Pull your inner Star Trek out. Come on.
Neutron star?
It's a neutron star. Yeah, it is a neutron star.
I love when Dan Majerus.
I will now do the neutron dance.
You're channeling
Cue
your inner
the
Jordan
Pointer Sisters.
The Pointer Sisters. I love it. I love it. Dear oh, my Lord. Gosh. So the oldest known fossil ever found by humans is of what very, very tiny organism?
Some kind of bug?
It's smaller than a bug.
George
smaller
Burns.
Than a bug.
Is it George Burns? No.
An amoeba?
It's not an amoeba, but you're in the wheelhouse.
A worm.
Paramecium.
It's not a worm.
Bacterium.
It's not a paramecium. It's often preceded, the name of the organism, by the modifier blue-green.
Algae.
That's weird.
I was going to say plankton.
Plankton? I mean, you're getting close. You're getting close.
What are the tardigrade?
The water bears.
Yes. Love those things.
Now, Stephanie loves water bears. If she's not here, she
And you
love
do know they do, the not that you guys need to know this, but they did make an appearance on Star Trek Discovery for a season.
Really?
Sort of.
Water bears did?
Yes.
Okay.
And there's actually a lawsuit happening because of that, too.
Okay. So. Really?
Yes.
What the heck?
Jeez.
I thought that they belonged to everyone. What is the name given to planets that are located, of which there are apparently many, outside of our solar system?
Planetoid?
Nope.
Discarded?
No.
Litter?
Alien?
Flotsam? Jetsam?
Copernican? No, 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 no.
It's actually far, far, far away.
Yeah.
Partial credit. No, they're called extrasolar is what they're called. Extrasolar.
Okay. I guess we could have tried to put that together with our own words and whatnot, but...
Yeah. What of all the tissues that make up the human body is the hardest?
Could you say that again?
Of all the tissues that make up the human body, which is the hardest?
Tooth enamel?
It's tooth enamel.
Is that considered
well
a tissue?
Yep.
Yeah.
Bones are actually pretty soft when they're
once
alive.
Once you break them.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Getting softer all the time.
Yep, getting softer all the time. Take your calcium supplements.
Or you
can just eat a lot of chocolate.
Yes, Dr. Miles.
And vitamin D3.
We need to sequester the calcium. What is a substance that is categorized as a pyrogen? What does it do?
It causes a temperature.
Yeah, it causes a fever.
Fever.
That's right. Pyro from fire. So, I think we're all kind of feeling it right now, frankly.
Yeah, it's a little warm in here.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Which word would fit before these three other words? Vest. Bean, quartet.
String?
String vest. String bean, string quartet.
String vest?
String vest.
That's what it says.
I didn't ask.
What's
the
string? Is that
made out of strings? I guessed it too. I figured I
was
going to
say
right
green.
Track.
Vest.
Yeah. Green vest. Green vest, green beans, green quartet.
What's a green quartet?
Perfect. Well, they're very forward thinking. And they're very renewable.
That's
what
right.
They do.
String vest?
I think green's better. We're going with green.
Like, I'm... string bikini?
We're doing some major category hopping.
Yes, we are. How about this one to add to the mix? I'm going to ask all the professors to stare at the table.
Stare at the table.
Yes.
What is the only American state that begins with the letter P?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Yes,
there we go.
That's right. Dan. Come on, Dan. That was...
Can't help it if you speak too fast.
You're so fast.
You're afraid.
I know my alphabet.
Pushy.
Yeah, the state of Pushy.
Oh, my gosh.
Pushyvania.
Aside from counting anything that is also characterized as a continent or Australia, what's the largest island in the world?
We have this Greenland.
Greenland,
yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's a classic piece of trivia. It's just a classic piece of trivia.
I say we whittle it down, let somebody else have it.
Whittle it down? Well, all I ever remember from geography in high school is that Greenland and Iceland were both misnomers. And there's way more ice in Greenland and way more green in Iceland. Mm. And
wasn't
I'm like, well, what the heck,
wasn't that
man?
To dissuade people from actually going to Iceland?
Something like that. They were extremely high in metals resources. So, it was a place to go meet Bjork, find some gold.
My friend actually went to school with her.
Really?
Yes. One of my best friends from college.
Wow, okay.
So he's still there. He's head of animation in Reykjavik right now. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Have I gone and visited him with the cheap airfares? No, I'm guilty. I'm sorry.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Have you seen the airfares?
Very good.
They're still cheap.
To Reykjavik?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Why am I sitting here?
Get on
a
plane.
WowAir.com.
ATP road trip.
Come on, let's go. We're broadcasting live from Reykjavik.
Coming to you live from Bjork's house in Reykjavik, Iceland. Wow. If you had a Lafitte Rothschild at your dinner table, what would you have at your dinner table?
Bottle of wine.
It's a bottle of wine. Yeah, that's right. Chateau Lafitte Rothschild.
I love it. I'm sorry. Anytime I hear that, I keep on thinking of the villain in Captain Crunch.
Yeah, well.
Jacques Lafitte.
Jacques Lafitte. Smells like feet.
Yeah.
Yep. What element is the one that begins with the letter K?
Potassium
starts with the letter P.
But it's abbreviated. Krypton.
Krypton, yes.
Krypton.
Oh, it's actually Krypton.
One time I put that as the elemental abbreviation and asked for the element, and somebody put Kryptonite. I liked that one.
Not too shabby.
It works.
A little bit of a chemist joke. Kryptonite's actually
But it's not
exists.
Clear for sure if they were joking.
Oh.
They might not have been.
Hmm. For the longest time, I think that when people looked at the noble gases, they said they didn't form compounds, which, of course, you know, most scientists and humans are like a challenge. And then in the late 90s, early 2000s, people started forming extremely unstable but actual compounds with them. So kryptonite would have been something when I was growing up that didn't exist, but it does now.
Oh, those noble gases.
Just try to keep it simple with Jung Hem, though, okay?
The noble gases are very patrician.
They're very patrician. Oh,
so
boy,
noble.
Boy, they are.
So noble.
Is that our vocabulary word of the day?
I think so.
This is a great time for me to open up a big can of worms and say that 2019 has been dubbed by the United Nations International Year of the Periodic Table because it is the 150th anniversary of Mendeleev coming up with the periodic table.
Wow.
I just saw there's a hashtag on Twitter, I Spy a Periodic Table, where the person had replaced all the elements with the flag of the country where they were first found in, except for the ancients. And it was actually quite an interesting array of history. It was quite diverse. However, the majority of them have been discovered in the United States because there's so many have been made at the Rutherford Lab and Los Alamos and stuff like that. So enjoy the elemental symbols in the windows of the chemistry building at University of Detroit Mercy during this great year-long celebration. What Great Lakes state, I love this trivia, has more shoreline than the entire U.S. Atlantic seaboard?
Michigan,
absolutely.
Michigan.
I think we've had that question before
as well. Yeah. Sounds
all good, Michiganders know.
No, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with it being asked.
It's still
it helps boost our correct response.
Yeah.
It's a gimme.
It's a gimme?
It's a softball question.
All right.
It's a nice
lob. One more that I may or may not be softball. Maybe you guys know this off the top of your head. I definitely do not. Everybody's aware of the psychedelic alcoholic beverage absinthe.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Usually when served, what color is it?
Green.
It's green. You all know. I didn't. There we go.
Have you guys gone to...
I'm the organic chemist.
Downtown, what's that place? Chartreuse.
Yes, I've been to Chartreuse.
Yeah, they have good absinthe.
What do they put with the absinthe? Is it just straight?
It depends on... They match it with your meal.
Just
Oh, okay. Wow.
I haven't done that yet.
Pretty upscale. Pretty
some pairings, huh?
Yes. I've been doing pretty hoity-toity as far as my meals during the holidays. So.
Okay. Well, we're all the way around to the end of the show here, and we have a couple minutes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wrest control of this panel for ATP favorites and say, I want to hear, and this is exactly what I envisioned myself this morning doing at this exact moment. Over Christmas break, I was privy to something I had never eaten before, not exotic by any stretch, but cornbread turned into a Belgian waffle with chili served on top. And Leslie and I have been planning this family dinner for tonight at the Mayo House, and it's my job to make the waffle, so I've been thinking about them all day.
Mm.
I'd like to know what kind of waffles you guys like or what you like to put on the waffles.
Mm-hmm. Blueberry.
Blueberry? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we do strawberries.
Blueberry.
The children like the whipped cream.
Of course, of course. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. We don't really want the cream, though.
Maple syrup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maple's good, but I like strawberry the best.
Syrup and butter.
Well, you got to put some butter.
I like butter. My family doesn't do butter, but I think
butter and syrup.
It's kind of dry.
Yeah, it kind of greases the pipes on the way down.
So. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, yeah.
You know, I grew up in Vermont, so butter and
maple syrup
right out of the tree. Classic. Although I like sliced banana, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good call.
My wife blueberries, and I, classic, too.
We actually got into it a little bit because she claimed that there was nothing that made her more happy at this restaurant we were dining at. And I'm like, oh, wow, cornbread waffle. I got to try that. She goes, I want a big brick of cornbread with, you know, the mushy or sort of soft, fluffy part in the middle. And I go, no way. Crispy edges is what you want when you want cornbread.
Oh, yeah,
I'm getting this waffle. And it was incredible. I'm like, this was really good. I went out that night and bought Jiffy Mix. It's been sitting on the counter since then.
Have you made cornbread muffins before?
I've made muffins before. Mm-hmm. Somehow our muffin tins, they're large. You know, I don't want that fluff in the middle. I want crispy edges.
We have the smaller ones.
I want crispy edges.
You know what actually makes a commercially, you know, fast food, actually halfway decent cornbread is actually Boston Market.
Really?
Do you remember them? They used to be at Boston Market, not far from us.
They're still around, I think.
But the only one by us is what, Southfield and 12.
There's one in Canton.
There's one down the street.
I thought there was one in Ferndale.
There used to be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there used to be a lot of them. They're not as much. But their cornbread's actually halfway decent.
Okay.
And the last time we had cornbread, I think we were dining with Diane.
Hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's wild.
I love cornbread.
Yep. I do, too.
So, apparently you add a dash or two more sugar when you make the cornbread mix. And that will give it a chance to caramelize in the waffle.
I'm sorry, one more time. What do you do?
A little bit more sugar.
A little bit more sugar.
And mostly, if you buy Jiffy Mix, they don't ask you to add sugar anyway. But you do it so that you get a crispy edge. And we're going to serve this fabulous vegan chili that my wife makes on top of it. And the boys are none the wiser.
Al Fresco sometimes stuffs the turkey with cornbread.
What a great idea. Yeah. I've heard that before. Oh, my. A mild buzz tells us it's time to say goodbye, Heather.
Au revoir.
Dan.
See ya.
Kendra.
Bye.
Jim.
Arrivederci.
Dave.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.